Kia ora. Ko Matt Mansell, tōku ingoa. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Have we got lift off on the... Yeah, we have. There's nothing up here. So, while they're getting the tech sorted out, so over the past few weeks, we've been doing a series on the wilderness, looking at Jesus' temptations in the wilderness and I guess understanding what it means for us to maybe be drawn into the wilderness. It's all good. And so Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit out into the wilderness at the start of his ministry, and there he was tempted. But at the same time, while he was led out there, he also chose to go. And so we've had various talks on the temptations that Jesus faced and what it means to be in the wilderness or to be drawn into the wilderness. But there's a bigger truth to this, and that is, that we are living in the wilderness all the time. On Good Friday, Christoph spoke, and part of what he shared was how Jesus on the cross said it is finished, but when we look out into the world, we can see that maybe it's finishing rather than finished, right? There are wars, there are pandemics, there are famine, there are empires, empire building, there's violence, there's exploitation, and so much more. The truth is, we live in the wilderness all the time. And we live in a world that is cursed and corrupted by sin, where even good things get twisted. It's easy to look out into that wilderness of this broken earth filled with broken people and hang our heads in despair. It seems overwhelming. It seems an impossible task. Who could overcome all this sin and death? Well, I've got news for you. Jesus has overcome the wilderness. He has overcome our broken world. So we'll see here in this is from 1 Corinthians 15, at the end of 1 Corinthians 15. And what we see here is Paul telling us that the sting of death has been removed. So Jesus was a unique person. He was fully human and fully divine. And it's really important that he was both of these things, because God is infinite and God is just, and any transgression against God, there's an infinite consequence for that. So in order for someone to be able to deal with that consequence, they need to be infinite. So they need to be God, they need to be divine. But also, God is infinite and unchanging and cannot die. And so there needs to be a sacrifice for this, and it needs to be finite. And so Jesus is fully God and fully man, and so is the only person who can actually pay the price of humanity's rebellion against God. And this is proven in his resurrection. If Jesus was not raised from the dead, then death is still the victor, as it says here. But as it says here, Oh death, where is your victory? Oh death, where is your sting? So if you go all the way back to the beginning of creation, people walked in the garden with God and they were made to be with him, and they lived these full lives with God in the garden, in the world, as his agents. And then they chose to rebel against God, and rather than having God as king, they chose themselves to be king, right? Deceived into that. And through that, sinful act of rebellion, death came into the world. So when Paul says here, the sting of death is sin, the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus, being raised from the dead, has overcome death. Death has been conquered. And if death has been conquered, sin has been conquered. Not just like once, I mean, yes, once, but for all time, right? That in that one act, sin and death have been conquered for all time. That is what the resurrection means. It means that, as James said, he's the first fruits of the resurrection of those raised from the dead. And those that follow him are the following fruits of it, as it were. Jesus said, by being raised to life, we know that he overcame death. And overcoming death, he overcame sin. He has overcome the wilderness of our broken world, filled with broken people who crucified him. He said he was the way, the truth, and the life, and that we can go to the Father, to God, through him. So, through his life, his sacrifice, and his resurrection, we can be in relationship with God again, with the creator of the universe, with the source of eternal life, the source of joy, the source of peace, so that we can have abundant eternal life. We can be resurrected, both in the end times, but we can live a resurrected life now. So what does that mean? So I've been playing with AI lately, various things. On Friday, Christoph spoke and he talked about some famous paintings and how they inspired him to think about the crucifixion. And so I thought I would, speaking about the resurrection, I would speak to one of the most famous art thieves, which is an AI image generator, and ask it what it thought. So I said, the prompt, right? So when you go into one of these things, you write a text thing and it will generate an image. And so I went, imagine a resurrected life. The results were kind of interesting, but underwhelming. I mean, there was this, right? Which is kind of like, okay, I don't know what that means. And then there was this, which I kind of like, right? It's quite a cool picture, but I don't see how that's a resurrected life. And then there was this. Okay. The last one did make me think, though, because if you remember that verse from 1 Corinthians, one of the things Paul says is that we have a perishable body right now, and we will get an imperishable body. And I'll be honest, I'm hoping that my imperishable body is a little slimmer. But not that slim. I'm like, if that's resurrection life, I'm like, yeah, maybe not. So I thought I'd ask my family. And so last night I sprung them on them. And the consistent answer I got was, this is not a fair question to spring on us. But here's what they said. Here's my summary of the things they said. He sacrificed his life for our greatest good. Resurrection speaks for itself. It's paving the way. Does that come up? Yep. It reconciles us to God, but it also reconciles God to us, meaning we can draw near to God and God can draw near to us. And it means hope. And I forgot my chocolates. No, I'll use these ones. So, it's an unfair question to spring on the family. So I'm going to spring it on you. What does resurrection mean? There is chocolate in this. For anyone who's willing to just...
Not being dead.
Not being dead. New life. Yeah. It's all fun and games until you hit somebody and then it's just funny. I've got heaps of chocolate in here.
A life fit for heaven.
A life fit for heaven? Anyone else?
New creation.
New creation. You can't have the ones that have already been done. I got two more chocolates. Oh, yep. Yep. Wonderful. It does. It's awesome. It means all of that and so much more. And so what I wanted to do is just go through a few things that it means to me, then we'll be done and we can have more chocolate. So, you know. So the first thing it means to me was encompassed in a bunch of things that people said. It means I'm saved. If we accept, so it says in Scripture, right, if you believe that Jesus was raised from the dead and confess that Jesus is Lord, you are saved. And I believe that he was raised from the dead. I believe that he was resurrected, that the tomb was empty on the third day, that he appeared to Mary and the other Mary, and then to the disciples, and then to like 500 people in one go, and all of these things. So it means that I'm saved out of the wilderness. We live in the wilderness, and there is a sense in which I am now drawn out of that wilderness. In Colossians, it talks about how we're drawn out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of the Son. I'm not only saved, but I'm not saved only so that I might have relationship with God, even though that in itself is a wonderful thing, and that I might live with him for eternity, and that I might be raised, resurrected into my imperishable body, not a skeleton, in the new heaven and the new earth. But it means, so that's what resurrection means in one sense, right? I'm saved, I have the promise of new life then, but I also have the promise of new life now and resurrected life now. I am a channel for God's spirit, for God's kingdom, a conduit, to use Marty's term, and that kingdom can manifest here in the wilderness. I become a lightning rod for the kingdom. His spirit lives in me. I can be a hope bearer, a mercy giver, a love carrier, a peace bringer. I am saved to live in the promise of his new heaven and new earth today. Not just to wait for that then, but to live in it today. Not in my own strength, but in his, he who saved me. As he gives to me, I can give to the world, and I can give to the wilderness. I can show others the way out of the wilderness. So what does that mean in a practical sense? So I was talking with the youth yesterday, and this is part of what I was talking about, so sorry you guys for you're hearing some of it again. But I've been thinking about what it means to be resurrected and live a resurrected life for a few years now, and reading and looking at scripture. And I think there's this wonderful opportunity that we have to be light in the darkness. And so I want to talk about, there's three ways, there's more, but there are three ways that I see that we can do that. So, there we go. So resurrection means justice and equality to me. So we see this scripture here. This is from Revelation 7. And it says, after these things, I looked and there was an enormous crowd that no one could count, made up of persons from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne. And before the Lamb, dressed in long white robes and with palm branches in their hands, they were shouting in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb." In the new heaven and the new earth, in our future, people from every nation, tribe, people and language will be worshipping God. This means that there are things that can be redeemed in every culture around the world. Now, it's not to say that there's good in every culture, because we live in the wilderness and it's a broken world filled with broken people. So there are things in our culture that are not good. But there are things that are good. And when I imagine this scene, I did ask Midjourney what it thought of this, but it was a pretty boring picture, so I didn't put it up. When I imagine this scene, I can imagine people like me doing my Pentecostal or evangelical two-step, right? Arms up. But while I'm doing that, and there's probably a few people around doing that, over there, there's a haka going on, right? And over there, there's some tongan drums. And over there, there's a lion dance. You know, when there's a particular dance in China, and they have those big, it's hard to describe. It's very cool. And over there might be whirling dervishes, right? Those people who spin, right? When we A long time ago, Natalia and I went on a mission trip with Graham and Rosemary and a bunch of other people, and we went to serve this group in the hills of Tamil Nadu, and the tribal group is called the Badaga, and they have these traditional songs and traditional dances. And I still can see it clear as day. One of the early Christians had taken their songs and they'd taken the traditional songs, which were often worship songs to Hindu gods, and turned them into worship songs to Jesus, and taken their traditional dances and done the same. And so these people were worshiping, singing these new traditional songs and doing their dance. And their dance, often the dance would be, the woman would be in a circle, sort of moving around in a circle one way, and the men would be moving in a circle the other way, or sort of jumping up and down in between them. And you'd watch this group of people worshiping, tears streaming down their faces, as they were in these wheeling circles, singing these songs. And the Spirit of the Lord was so heavy in that place that people walked in and would be delivered from demons and things. So I imagine that, right? And people who, like, there are people groups who are no longer exist, but if there are Christians among them, they will be worshipping, or misogyny in the church. It's men and women all worshipping the Lord equally. And yet, our broken earth is filled with both of these things. So how can I be a bringer of justice? How can I work in my life to work against racism or misogyny? What can I do to bring more diversity and make more inclusive environments for people? I know when I work in IT, and I'm not in a hiring role at the moment, but when I'm in a hiring role, one of my things is, how do I find people who aren't like all the people I've already got? Because actually working in IT, if you look at your average IT group, often there's a very singular kind of feel to the people that are there. And so there's a kingdom thing in that for me, but actually that kingdom promise, when you look at the research, diverse groups of people tend to work better, make better decisions. So that kingdom promise comes out in our real way of working. So we can be carriers and bringers of justice and equality. It means caring for our world. So here we see, do we see? No, we don't see. There, we got it. Oh, go back one, I've gone too far now. So, God blessed them. This is from Genesis 1, right at the beginning of creation. God blessed them, humanity, and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and every creature that moves on the ground. We humans were made to steward the earth. That was our job. We weren't just made to kind of laze around the garden and enjoy the fruit. I'm sure there was a bit of lazing and fruit enjoying before enjoying the wrong fruit. But we were given a job. We were given work to do. And it was good work. Adam named all the beasts. And we were made for this, to take the wild and bring order to it. That's what I see when I see fill the earth and subdue it, right? How do we take the wild and bring order to it? Create culture. And then we rebelled. As I said, we decided that we wanted to be king and queen rather than let God be king. And we lost our connection with the true source of life and the true source of sustenance for the earth. Death came in as a result of that sin. And now in our brokenness, we are breaking the earth. We've taken that role of steward, but it's disconnected from its authority. And now as a species, we are the most invasive species on earth, in a sense, right? I don't mean that to sound really awful, but if you think about what we do to the earth, God made this world, including us, and he made it good. And so in the new heaven and the new earth, we will work with God to steward the earth. So now we could do something about it. If you are driven to go, well, actually, I want to do something about climate change. I want to do that. I want to protect species. Like, I was watching a program about some people who have a kiwi nursery, and they raise young kiwi, because about 95% of baby kiwi get killed in the wild. But if you raise them until they're about a kilogram, about 65% of those live. They are stoat-proof, basically. The stoats, they're too big for the stoats to kill. So that kind of work can be kingdom work. I'm not saying that is, because I don't know what their motivation is. But we are here to care for the world. We can care for the world. If that's something you feel passionately about, then maybe God has put that passion in you. We can live that future now. We can care for the earth. As individuals, churches, movements, we can steward the earth. We can clean up. We can restore ecosystems. And by doing that, we are showing there is a better way. There is a kingdom way to love the world that God has made. The last one, I spend most of my life, or at least maybe not most of my life, but a fair portion of my life at work. When the Father has finished recreating the new heavens and the new earth, we will live with God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we will reign forever. This is from Revelation 22, right near the end of the book. And it's funny because I look at Revelation 22 and it's right near the end of the book and it sounds like it's the end of the story, but to me it feels like it's the start of the story. Because that there speaks of a world where there are a redeemed people and a redeemed world living in harmony with God and in harmony with each other and in harmony with the earth and stewarding the earth. And I just think it's going to be pretty cool. Yeah, they say all these kind of things in there, right? No more tears, no death, no suffering. That's pretty cool. Yeah. We will be restored to that Genesis 1, stewards of the earth, right? Rule it, subdue the earth and rule over it. You know, this is you are my agents in this place. That's what God is saying. You're my people. Go sort out my world, as it were. And I believe that in the new heaven and the new earth, we will work. Some people are going to be going, oh, nah, that can't be right. Man, work sucks. But I don't think it will. I don't think we'll work because we need the money. I don't think we'll work because of the scarcity of what we see around us. We'll be living out of the abundance of the kingdom. Right? God has 1,000 cattle on 1,000 hills, right? There's no shortage of resources. And we won't be working, competing with each other. We'll be working, serving each other, loving each other, helping each other. I don't think we'll work because we need to, because we can't get enough, but to serve God, serve each other, and to serve the earth. And this work will come from a place of abundance and joy. And there will be no toil, right? I know sometimes I go to work and I'm like, it's hard work. This is hard going. But we won't be working from that place, because there'll be no suffering, right? That means there'll be no suffering in our work. There won't be 27 million people in modern slavery. As much as I can, so what does that mean for me today? As much as I can, and this is going to sound really kind of like I'm onto it, but I'm not. But as much as I can, I try and think that way about my work. Not because I think I can solve the brokenness of the world by working differently and living differently, but because I believe that that can bring hope to people. That when I can see in someone, like, especially when I was working with staff, when I could see in someone that they could do greater things and I could call that out of them and help them and mentor them into greater things in their work, giving them hope, believing in them when they don't believe in themselves. I believe that I can be a hope bringer and a light in the dark. A part of my work is about transforming organisations, helping them to get better, right? And how, and to use technology better. The thing that drives me in that is not that I want organisations to make a more profit or be more efficient, although often, most of the time, those are things that happen. The reason I do it is because I think and I believe that work can be more humane and it can be more people. You know, at the end of the day, all of our work is about people getting together and doing stuff. And we can do that much better. And I can be a carrier of that in my workplace. So there are a few things that resurrection means to me. And I was just thinking about on Friday, the sermon, the title of it was, "It is finished and it is finishing." Jesus on the cross said, "It is finished." And yet, as Christoph said when he spoke, we look out into the world and we see that, well, clearly it's not over yet. It is finishing. There is this process going on where things are being redeemed, but there's still stuff that happens out there that's horrific. And so it is finishing. And I was thinking that resurrection means to me that I can be a finisher, right? I can help to, in very small ways, not grand scheme things, just day by day, go, how can I be a piece of God's kingdom in this wilderness? And I encourage you to think the same and to do the same. We can be a piece of the kingdom. We can live the future today. And I think that's a wonderful, wonderful thing and a wonderful gift from God to us. So not only are we saved for ourselves, we are saved for the world. And let's go out and be carriers of this resurrection and be carriers of this kingdom.